Well, hi there. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie getting underway here on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani, and as we have said for 5.5 years, and you. You are the ones who drive this program with your takes, your wisdom, your insights, your lived experiences, except every now and then. We have it's a pre-recorded broadcast for you today, as we are not live, so you kind of get a break. You get to sit back and enjoy the conversation, and Debbie, I think we are really going to have a lively conversation with a priest, and he is celebrating the anniversary, 300th anniversary of the founding of his religious order.
That is so cool. I love these special broadcasts because, like you said, Jerry, it does give our listeners a chance just to kind of sit back and absorb and learn something. And that's what we do on Take Two. We learn and grow together each and every time we do these wonderful, wonderful broadcasts. And I love that. I've been watching this priest on TV for a long time. I've seen him on TV long before I ever got to meet him through EWTN. So I'm really excited that he's our guest for the entire hour.
Yeah, we are blessed to have with us Father Cedric Pesena. He is a Passionist priest, and the order was founded by Saint Paul of the Cross. We're going to talk about that as today, as we said again, is the 300th anniversary of the founding of that order. And it may be an order that some of you have not heard a lot about, if anything, but we're really going to give you a look inside the order and as well as inside Father Cedric's ministry as well. Father Cedric is a priest, like I said, of the Passionist order, touched by the grace of God when he was 19. He surrendered his life to Jesus and had a life-changing experience, and from then on he desired to make a difference in people's lives, dedicating his life to God as a Passionist religious and Catholic priest. As a preacher, writer, and producer for television, Father Cedric endeavors to help people come to know Jesus in a personal way. God has also called him to make known the imperishable riches of the Holy Spirit. The salvation and new life that comes from the cross of Jesus is a major part of his proclamation. He has been seen many, many times on EWTN television, and we are blessed to welcome to EWTN Radio, Father Cedric Pesena. Father, welcome.
Hey, thank you so much, Jerry and Debbie. It's such an honor to be on your program, especially on October 20th, which is the feast day of the Passionist community. And as you said, we have been founded for 300 years now. So this is a very special jubilee year for us. And I'm based in Houston, Texas, and it's such a joy to be with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for having me on your program.
So Father's October 20th, being the feast day of St. Paul of the Cross, maybe for our listeners' sake, could you share, you know, who was he and you know, give us a little background so we can understand your order better?
Sure. Just a little bit about St. Paul of the Cross. I needed to tell you that worldwide, his feast day is October 19th, but there's also the feast of St. Isaac Jogues and his companions on that day. So in the United States and Canada, we moved it to October 20th. So not to confuse anybody, but worldwide, St. Paul of the Cross is October 19th, but in the United States and Canada, it's October 20th. St. Paul of the Cross, do not confuse him with St. John of the Cross. They are two totally different saints. St. Paul of the Cross lived in Italy in the 1700s. He was born in 1694, and he founded a religious community dedicated to the Passion. That's why we're called Passionists. Mm. And as you know, the Passion means suffering. If you've seen the movie by Mel Gibson, most of you have. The Passion of Jesus Christ. That word means suffering. It also means enthusiasm and having energy if you're a person of passion. I have a TV program called Live with Passion, and I try to help people to realize their destiny and fulfill their potential. So St. Paul of the Cross was a great saint. And as I said, he lived in Italy. He founded the Passionist community, as you know. And we are now in 64 countries, unbelievably, 64 countries scattered around the world. And St. Paul was a writer. He didn't write books, but he wrote letters to people. We have a compendium of his letters in about three different books where he counseled different people. If he were alive today, he would definitely be online. He would be emailing people all over the place. He was also a great preacher. He preached parish missions throughout Italy. and also to the clergy of his day, trying to get them enthusiastic about God, and especially the people of his day, trying to bring them to new life in Christ. He was a mystic. He had very many spiritual experiences of Christ crucified. God touched him with the Holy Spirit in many different ways. He was a spiritual director, and he helped people to come closer to Christ. So St. Paul of the Cross was the founder of the Passionists. And we are in, as I said, 64 countries, but we're all over the United States. We have many different retreat centers. I'm based in Houston, Texas at Holy Name Retreat Center. But in the Western province, of which I am a member, we are in Sacramento, Los Angeles, Detroit, Michigan. In the Eastern province, we're in Florida, North Palm Beach, New York, Pittsburgh, Scranton, so many different places. So that's a little bit about us.
Wow. Well, that's beautiful, Father. Father Cedric Pesena is with us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We are airing a pre-recorded show, but it is an original broadcast. It has not aired yet at any time on EWTN, and we are blessed to have with us Father Cedric, whom you may have seen on EWTN television at one time or another. We're going to talk about his ministry, and actually I want to talk a little bit more about St. Paul of the Cross when we come back and who were the Passionists. But Debbie, this is a program that I know our listeners are going to be very inspired by.
Oh, you know, when we can learn and grow about, you know, the saints, and then to see how it the ministry continues, you know, long past their lifetime, and it's so incredible. I'm just so grateful to Father Cedric that he could spend this time with all of us, and that we could learn and grow and understand things better, and know what to pray for, and know what to focus on. I think is very, very important. So, this is going to be a good one, Jerry.
All right. Again, we are asking you to sit this one out. It's rare when we do that for the Take Two family, but we do believe it's well worth your time. And we are already off to a great start with Father Cedric Pesena. He is a priest of the Passionist Order. Today is being the celebration of the 300th anniversary of the founding of that order. We're going to hear some more about that and who the Passionists are, what they do, and especially we're going to zero in on Father Cedric's ministry, which you may have seen or heard on EWTN television, so don't go anywhere. Always great to have you with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I am Jerry Usher. Along with Debbie Giorgiani, we got Michael Birchfield, our producer, for this pre-recorded broadcast today as we talk with Father Cedric Pesena. He has a media ministry, among other things, leads retreats. He is a part of the Passionist community on this feast of the 300th anniversary of the founding of that community by St. Paul of the Cross. And Father Cedric, I love to talk about founders of orders because it seems like, I don't know if it's strictly universal, but it seems like across the board, many of them have to suffer a lot, even after the order has been founded, not necessarily before in order to get the order off the ground. But you think of so many of the religious founders, some were kicked out of their orders, some suffered greatly, and you are the Passionist. So what was the journey like for St. Paul of the Cross as he founded the order, and how was his life like subsequent to that?
Well, that's such a great question, Jerry. You're absolutely right. All the saints suffer. That's one thing that they have in common. And I want to tell your listeners that your suffering has meaning. We Passionists profess a vow, actually, along with poverty, chastity, and obedience. The first vow is to meditate on the Passion of Jesus Christ and to find the meaning of the Passion and explain it to the world. I want to tell your listeners that if you pray the rosary, especially the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary, I believe you're a Passionist too, because you're meditating on the Passion of Jesus. Those who walk the stations of the cross and you spend some time meditating on the Passion, that's the Passionist charism. The word charism means gift. And certainly St. Paul of the Cross, like the other saints that we revere and pray to, St. Paul of the Cross went through his sufferings too. And let me just tell you a quick story. He originally wanted the Passionist community that he founded, he wanted it to be called the Poor of Jesus. And he went before the Pope, and actually he didn't get an audience with the Pope right away. The story is he showed up at the Vatican in the black habit that we wear, and they thought he was a vagrant and a hobo, and they kicked him out. They didn't even give him an audience with the Pope. So he was rejected by the church that he loved. We're talking about the sufferings of St. Paul. What he did was, instead of giving in to despair, he turned to prayer. And I would recommend that to everybody when you feel rejected or you're going through some type of a suffering. Don't give up. Turn to prayer. God is there to hear you. And he went to the Basilica in Rome, St. Mary Major. He had a great devotion toward Mary. And he went into the chapel there, and he noticed a crucifix as he was praying about what to do next, because he sensed that God was calling him to found a community. Yet he had just been rejected and cast out by the church that he loved. So as he prayed before the crucifix, he recognized that Jesus too had been rejected and he had suffered greatly. And he found a great oneness with Christ in his rejection. And he realized at that moment that Jesus was still calling him to found a community, but not the poor of Jesus, but the passion of Jesus. He found this oneness with Christ in the passion. A couple months later, he went back. He took courage, went back to the Vatican, and miraculously, they let him in. He had an audience with the Pope, and the Pope told him, he said, "I love your idea. This, the passion of Jesus, should have been the first community founded in the Catholic Church, and here it is, the last community. It was last at that time in the 1700s. And he approved the rule. And thus the Passionists were founded. So that's one story about St. Paul of the Cross, his resilience and how he didn't give up and how he identified with the passion of Christ and his rejection. And I think about the sexual abuse scandal that's happened, and many people have been rejected, not many, but some. And I want to tell you, if you've been rejected or gone through something like that, you can identify with the passion of Christ and his rejection. And don't turn to despair, turn to prayer. Another story really quickly about St. Paul of the Cross. He was a saint that did not die early. He lived to be 81 years old. So he can identify with many elderly people who grow older and have aches and pains and go through some desolation in their life. Many people I talk to about their prayer life. And remember, St. Paul of the Cross was a mystic and a spiritual director. Well, he had these great consolations early on in his life in prayer, like many of us do. But as he grew older, for the last 30 years of his life, actually, God withdrew those consolations, and he suffered desolation in his prayer life in many ways. In fact, some historians will tell us that St. Paul of the Cross actually went through a depression. That's why he was such a great spiritual director, because he could identify with and sympathize with those who came to him who were suffering depression or desolation in their spiritual life. But what I love about St. Paul of the Cross is, just because he wasn't encountering consolation, he didn't give up on his prayer life. He stayed with it. He was resilient. And that's what prayer is about. Faithfulness calls us to prayer, not just because we experience great consolation from God. Anybody can pray with that. But when God sometimes withdraws the consolation, those who are the warriors in life, the prayer warriors, are those who are faithful even though they don't feel the feelings. And that's what St. Paul of the Cross can teach us. He has been through desolation, but stayed faithful. And that's what I want to say to any of your listeners. Maybe you don't feel the great warm fuzzies and the consolations that God can give, the glory, but that doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong, and it doesn't mean that you've sinned and you're being punished. Sometimes God withdraws the consolation to the ones he loves the most so that he can stretch you and help you to become even more and even deeper a person of faith. I hope that makes sense.
Oh, yes, Father. I could listen to you all day long. This is so much what we do in our ministry work with Stand Tall Today. You know, we are very big on Catholic life skills and, you know, putting a plan for people to do the next right thing in the prayer and, you know, in the actions that they take. And I hear the peace in your voice, Father, and I just love that. I wrote down, you know, what you said, don't turn to despair, turn to prayer. And a lot of people, you know, do opt for that going, you know, falling into despair, which, as we know, is very dark and can lead to really, you know, dangerous things for the person. But Father, as I hear you speak and I hear the peace coming through loud and clear, I'm kind of drawn to this idea that I'd love to learn more. And I understand that I was looking through your website, you have retreat centers and things like that. Can you tell us, are these open to the public? Is it just for the, you know, the Passionist, you know, community, or how does that work?
Well, that's a great point that you brought up, Debbie, and I'm so glad you did. St. Paul of the Cross didn't so much want his houses of residence to be called monasteries, like the Benedictines and the Kamal Louise and others. He wanted them to be called retreats. And that's a major part of our charism. And it was, first of all, retreats for us, for the priests and the brothers and the sisters. And by the way, we have brothers and sisters that are passionists, contemplative nuns, as well as priests. He wanted them to be called retreats, that we could spend time meditating on the passion, being steeped in prayer. And then he opened it up to laity. Therefore, we have retreat centers where retreatants come, men, women. We have AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, come for retreats. All the anonymous programs, Gamblers Anonymous, Sex Anonymous, Overeaters, come to our retreat centers. And then especially Catholic men, Catholic women, married couples. As I said, I live at the Retreat Center in Houston, Texas, Holy Name Retreat Center, and it's open to all denominations. It's open to all types of spirituality, but especially Catholic men and women. There's a great emphasis on that. St. Paul of the Cross wanted our retreat centers to be, as he put it, schools of prayer. He wanted us to be steeped in prayer. And there was a rhythm for our life. For example, Jesus went forth from the bosom of God, ministered on earth, and then came back to the bosom of God. And that's the spirituality of St. Paul of the Cross. He wanted our missionaries, and I am a parish missionary, he wanted us to go out from the bosom of God, minister to people, and come back to the retreat, to the bosom of God, in order to be strengthened and consoled and enlightened, illumined, and then go back out. When you retreat, you're not running away from the world. You are coming apart, as Jesus said, come apart with me for a while and rest. You're coming apart so that you can be strong, encouraged, so that therefore you could go back into the world even better. And that's the spirituality of St. Paul of the Cross, and that's the genius of a retreat.
Take two with Jerry and Debbie on this October 20th broadcast, a pre-recorded show for you today, as we wanted to have our guest, Father Cedric Pesena. He is a priest of the Passionists, who in certain parts of the country, including here, celebrate their 300th anniversary of their founding today by St. Paul of the Cross. So we're not taking your calls today, but I know I can speak for Debbie that we are being very, very inspired by Father Cedric. We're going to get into his ministry. He's written books. He does parish missions and so forth. As the show moves along here today, but just staying on that point of the retreats for just a moment, Father, you've talked a lot about prayer, and you said that St. Paul of the Cross wanted the retreats to be retreat centers to be pools of prayer, I believe you said. So I'm going to guess that a retreat is probably has a lot of time for communal and individual prayer time, I would guess. Can give us the structure of one of your retreats real quick?
Yes, there are different types of retreat. But mainly, people would come, and I'm inviting everybody to come on retreats. Google Passionist Retreat Center, and please come on a retreat. And they're very safe. We're taking a lot of precautions when it comes to the pandemic. We're only having a certain amount of people. But a retreat would start on Friday with dinner. People come and they settle in. We have private rooms, private baths for everybody, many acres for people to walk, Stations of the Cross, very quiet. We live in Houston, about 10 miles west of downtown. And people say, I can't believe that this place is in the city of Houston because it's so quiet here. And that was one of our MOs of St. Paul of the Cross. He wanted to found places that were removed and quiet so that people could pray. So you come on a Friday evening and then you hear a talk, spend some time in prayer. We have Mass for you. We celebrate Mass. We have beautiful chapels. Then Saturday all day long would be comprised of talks, of times for meditation and prayer, times for Mass, times for confession. And we have a dining room. We have a kitchen staff to feed everybody breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They get a lot of compliments because we make sure that our food is top-notch. Then on Sunday, we have a Sunday Eucharist. We have more talks, a time of discussion, and times to walk with each other if you wish, or times to be alone. So that's kind of the structure of a retreat. It goes to lunch on Sunday. It's about 40 hours long from dinner on Friday night all the way to lunch on Sunday. And it can really help a person. There's times for counseling, times for preaching, times for confession, times for silent meditation. We also do have silent retreats, a couple of those a year, where there are no talking at meals. You can come and just be quiet the whole weekend. There will be also times for prayer, of course, and hearing preached talks. So that, in a nutshell, is the structure of our retreats.
Wow. Well, Debbie and I, we have this chat communication here, Father, and we both have been kind of typing back and forth to each other. I want to go on a retreat. It sounds so good.
Can we move in permanently, Father?
Well, you know, that's one of the privileges of being a passionist. You get to live at a retreat center, and I just shake my head and say, wow, it's a place of quiet. I can walk the stations on my own. Mm-hmm. Just love it here. And we do have laity involved with us. We have what's called passionist partners who kind of like the third order of the Franciscans. Right. They're very interested in the spirituality of St. Paul of the Cross. So we have the best of both worlds. It's really wonderful.
Before we pause here in about a minute, Father, I want to make sure that our listeners have your website and then the Passionist website as well. Can you give each of those? I know you have your own personal ministry website.
Yeah, it's simply FR for Father, Cedric, CEDRIC.org. So Father Cedric, you can just Google it. And then the Passionist, Passionist.org, Passionist, plural, .org or passionist.org, and you will find our website. I'm a member of the Western Province of the Passionists, but we also have the Eastern Province, mostly on the East Coast, and both provinces of the Passionists do the same thing. We have retreats, we have parish missions, we have chaplains, and we also do a media ministry. We can talk more about that.
Okay, very good. Michael Birchfield is producing the show today. I am Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani and you, and hope that you are enjoying this conversation. If you've tried to call in, it is a pre-recorded show as we visit with Father Cedric Pesena. Maybe you've seen him on EWTN television. He is a member of the Passionist Priests, founded by St. Paul of the Cross 300 years ago today. When we come back, we'll get into Father's ministry more deeply, his books, his retreats, and so forth. Stay with us. In these crazy times, you may not be able to get to your parish to do Eucharistic adoration, but EWTN provides that for you online. You are never, ever alone. Come and spend some time with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. EWTN is streaming live Eucharistic adoration from the EWTN Chapel every day, 9:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern. So visit EWTN.com/Catholicism/adoration. I'm Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani. Debbie, I'm going to throw it to you in a second. second, but I had to share this because of this announcement that we had to make about adoration. My parish, of course, is closed. I live here in California. We can't get in for private prayer. So what I do is I will drive over and just pray on the church grounds, do my holy hour. And I happen to walk around. I thought, you know, the other day, I thought, I'm going to walk around the side of the building where the Blessed Sacrament is.
Right.
And much to my pleasant surprise, there was a picture nailed to the wall of a monster, of a tabernacle and a couple chairs out there.
Oh, wow.
So I've started doing adoration through a wall. And the thought that came to me was, hey, Jesus walked through walls before, so his grace can certainly get through that wall. So it was kind of an interesting place to do adoration.
Yeah. So the Holy Spirit led you to walk around the building,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah, exactly, right.
Interesting, interesting. Well, before we continue our wonderful discussion with Father Cedric Pazania, I just wanted to say that, you know, on the break, I quickly said to my husband, Marty, hurry up, get the luggage, start packing. We're heading, you know, to the Passionist Retreat Center. And the only problem is, I don't know, you know, Father may not be able to get rid of us after a couple months or a couple years. Because, but Father, seriously,
go ahead. We have plenty of room for you.
Okay.
We have great foods there.
Ooh.
You're welcome to stay.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. But no, seriously, Father, as you were speaking, it was like a little slice of heaven. I found myself just kind of daydreaming a little bit and thinking, wow, you know, to have that time where you can just, you know, walk around and pray and feel that peace and feel the love and get to know God better and to deepen, you know, your own understanding of yourself. And it's just an amazing, Father. And I just thank you for doing what you do. And I'm curious if we have a few minutes to ask you, like, how did you, I've seen you on TV. The first time I ever saw you was actually on TBN. Not on EWTN. And I said to my husband, I said, look, there's a Catholic priest on TBN. And I was pretty excited. And so I watch you, you know, often, and you do such a great job. And I think it's wonderful. But I wanted to know, like, how did you receive your vocational call, Father? And what was, you know, the background with that story?
Well, Debbie, thanks so much. You're very kind. And you gave me goosebumps there. That's the Holy Spirit. So you have a Spirit-anointed program for sure. And talking about the Holy Spirit, that really is what changed my life, the person of the Holy Spirit. That's why I actually preach and write about the Holy Spirit quite a bit. I was born and brought up Catholic in Massachusetts. That's where I was brought up. And I actually had a conversion in college right after dating a woman for 9 months. We broke up. I was experiencing a lot of emptiness and loneliness. And I turned to God. And it's that whole thing, instead of despair, turn to prayer. Because I had that as my foundation, even though I wasn't really going to church. And you know how it is in your teenage years. So off I was and started praying and really started searching in an intense way. In fact, I preach a lot about the scriptures because the Bible has touched my life. I went to Matthew 7:7 as a young man and read, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open. And that verse changed my life because within a month or two, I actually experienced the power of the Holy Spirit and revolutionized my life and brought me back to church, back to Christ, back to Catholicism. And then I discerned in some time a call to the priesthood. So my whole ministry is really devoted toward helping people to develop a relationship with God. Because Catholicism, the ritual is beautiful and it can be very engaging, but Catholicism is so much more than ritual and rules and regulations. It's about a relationship. And I think that's what Jesus came to bring in his preaching. Think about the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes and his beautiful sayings and teachings. That's why people swarmed around him. They needed that retreat. They needed that time of refreshment. They needed inspiration, enlightenment, illumination from God. And that's what we Passionists are devoted to. We are preachers. Much like the Redemptorists and the Dominicans, we are preachers. And don't think about the old style of, you know, hellfire and brimstone. We're trying to encourage people. We're trying to inspire people. We're trying to give people strength in their journey, so that they can come closer to God. And we break open our own experience to do that. I love it when people say, you passionists, you're down to earth. You know, you meet us where we're at. And that's exactly what we try to do. We're not up on a pedestal. We really are one with you. And we try to share from our own experience about the love of God. St. Paul of the Cross had a saying, love is ingenious. And I love that. That was one of his favorite sayings. So we use ingenuity. We are innovative. We try to preach in a way that touches people. Now, a little earlier, Jerry talked about his experience outside the wall. I think to be ingenious means the innovative part of the Passionists, the new evangelization. Let's talk about that here for a moment. You all, Debbie and Jerry, with your program, with your beautiful programs, Take Two Show, you are being innovative. You are loving people through media. You are going outside the walls of the church and making really the gospel available to everybody, whether you're Catholic or not. And that's something we Passionists try to do, is have a church without walls. Of course, we are Catholic. We first, and we're members of the church. But the new evangelization calls us to be innovative and to have new methods, as you know, to have ardor. And so the new evangelization calls us to do new things to evangelize. So we use radio, we use television to reach out. Now, I'm not blowing my own horn here, but I'm the only minister on Catholic Priest on Trinity Broadcasting Network. God opened that door for me. I'm also on the Daystar Network. You may not be as familiar with Daystar, but really it's like Coke and Pepsi in the Protestant world. Daystar and TBN are side by side. And then I've also been given the platform on EWTN. I have a Lenten series that will be coming up in Lent. I have other series that will be broadcast. I have talks on St. Paul of the Cross and Passionist Saints and other series that they have allowed me to air on EWTN. So I am flabbergasted to have the platform of TBN, Daystar, EWTN, as well as other Catholic stations in different cities, such as New York and Long Island, Scranton, San Antonio, you name it. There are Catholic diocesan networks or stations that air all around the country. So the whole thing that I'm trying to say here is that love is ingenious, and that you show love in many different ways. And the way that the Passionists show love the most is through preaching and reaching out in media. We have a church without walls, much like you do with your program, Take Two.
Mm. Well, Father, thank you for the kind words. Father Cedric Pazania is with us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We have a pre-recorded broadcast for you today. Again, our thanks to Michael Birchfield, our producer, for helping to put the show together and get it recorded for us. We will be back live in a couple of days here on EWTN Radio. And Father Cedric, I'm just curious, you talk about all these ministry endeavors, and you alluded to the fact that the order, the Passionists, do these kinds of things. But you as an individual, as you were discerning, you know, where you might live out that priestly call that God put on your life, did you have this interest in media, in giving retreats, being on TV, radio, or did you find yourself joining the Passionists? Then all of a sudden, God said, okay, here are some other things, you know, media-wise that I have for you to do.
That's a great question, Jared. Thank you. I felt like when I was touched by the Holy Spirit, I definitely wanted to start sharing the good news, the gospel. And although I was terrified, I wanted to preach. And the Passionists are a preaching community. We preach parish missions. In fact, that's a major part of my ministry. We're not really doing it now during the pandemic, but I go from parish to parish. I'm invited into a church community. I come in on the weekend and I preach the gospel during the homily. And I invite people to come back for a parish retreat or a parish mission Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning and evening. So the Passionists do that, so that very much attracted me. And the men that I met attracted me, and then our charism of meditating on the Passion attracted me. So there were many different communities I could have gravitated toward, but the Passionist really had the beautiful charism to me. So at first I didn't think about television, you know, I didn't really consider that much, but as my ministry unfolded, I felt that urge to really reach out to what's called the nuns, not N-U-N, but N-O-N-E. Those are those who are not affiliated with any denomination or Catholics who have fallen away. Now, I loved preaching in churches, and I've given about 500 missions in my career. I've been a priest now for 29 years. And I love going into churches and giving retreats and preaching missions, but my heart is for those who have fallen away and those who have no religious affiliation, and also for young people. Before I became a Passionist priest, I was a youth minister for 3 years, and I love our young people. They have such potential, and I really want to reach out to them. I've even written a book called God's Not Boring, because I was talking with a youth minister one time, and I asked her, I said, you know, I'm going to write a book for young people. I had already written a number of different books, but wanted to reach out to teenagers especially. I said, what would you entitle the book? And she said, oh, Father, that's easy. Call it God's Not Boring. Because as you know, many young people think Mass is boring and therefore God is boring. So I wrote the book about how passionate God is and everything that you like in life, like music and friendship and whatever interests you have, that's all from God. So God is not boring. So I'll give it back to you.
No, that's excellent. You know, that's interesting. You were saying you're a youth minister. I picked up on that. I could just tell by the way you really relate to people very well. I mean, it comes through when you're on the TV programs, Father. It's definitely a gift that God has given you. And I just want to say thank you for saying yes to your vocation as a priest. Thank you very much for saying yes. And I love
every time you talk, Debbie, I get goosebumps.
Oh, thanks, so Father.
I just want to say that I think the knock on Catholic preaching so far has been that it hasn't been engaging or relevant. And I don't mean that across the board, but unfortunately, we all have experienced some of that. And I think what we're trying to do as Passionists especially is to be relevant. We talk about relevant radio or engaging. I'm writing a book right now called Real Life, Real Issues, Real Solutions. And it means being in touch with what people are going through and speaking to them in a way that they can understand. And that, you know, if I can do that, if we can do that by radio in your program, then we're doing God's will. So you're absolutely correct.
Well, thank you. And as you were speaking, I know, Jerry, you probably thought of this as well. You know, that when we just wrote the book Trustful Surrender, Father, and it's all about stories of loved ones who have kind of put God on a shelf and walked away. And we share the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we say this all the time. And they say, really, why does it have to be such the real, raw truth? And because our lives are messy, you know, our things are happening to people. And we don't want to polish it up and gloss it over and, you know, have everybody think it's, you know, it's so easy to do the things that we do or encounter what we encounter in this world. We want people to know where people are at and, you know, what they have to walk through and what they have to learn about. And so if you're there to journey with them, it can be quite, beautiful when the aha moments go off in people's heads or the breakthroughs happen, Father, and people realize how much God loves them. And if it was only just them, he would have suffered and died again. And it's just amazing when that light bulb goes off and people say, wow, he really does know every hair on my head. Go ahead, Father. I'm sorry.
You are putting your finger on the pulse of ministry because
thank you.
You know, people come on retreats and parish missions, or people call me and want counseling, and they talk about what they're going through, their real life sufferings. And we can't be oblivious to that. We have a great high priest who can sympathize with us because he's been through everything that we've been through. That's one of the great things about Jesus, the high priest. He's not a high priest in a temple somewhere removed from us. He's a high priest who sympathizes with us. And that's exactly what I try to do on my religious programs, my TV programs, Live with Passion. I try to hit the real life issues. And I share sometimes maybe too much about myself, about what I go through. the sufferings that I've borne, even some of my sins, in order to relate to people. I just wrote a book about addictions and recovery. It's called There Is a Solution. That's taken right from the big book. The big book is Alcoholics Anonymous's Bible. And Bill W., who founded Alcoholics Anonymous, wrote the big book along with Dr. Bob. And he put in there, there is a solution to your addiction. So people are going through addictions, especially during the pandemic. It's risen. And so we need to talk about these things. We need to talk about the pandemic. We need to talk about what's going on in real life. Otherwise, we're disconnected from people. Now, we talk about it in a way that's connected with the gospel, of course, because we have something of inestimable value, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the solution to the problems of life, and we can't leave that out. And I know that you do that as you talk about different issues on your radio program, but as preachers especially, and as priests, we have to relate to people and what they're going through. That is ministry.
Mm-hmm. Father Cedric Pazenia with us here on this pre-recorded broadcast of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I am Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani, and we thank you, the affiliates, for carrying the program. And I'm gonna tail on what you were saying there, Father, because Debbie and I, again, are communicating back and forth on this chat. She says, you know, what you were describing that you do by way of your ministry, not to compare ourselves to you. I'm sure you're much more effective in doing what you do. But it's kind of the same approach that we have here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, how, you know, we share the good, the bad, the ugly, the raw, you know, details of our lives. Not, you know, with sensibilities, of course, but for us, that seems to really establish an instant, deep connection and a bond with our listeners. And I'm wondering if you're finding that people are they're more willing to really be real with God, you know, as they hear you be real with them. Are they taking your lead and saying, okay, I can really pour myself out and open myself up to God and maybe even to you, say in the sacrament of confession or something?
Yes, Jerry. I mean, I want to scream out, be real with God. Enough highest latitudes. I mean, that may work for some people, but it doesn't work for me. And, you know, we've all heard all that stuff. People already know that. But let's talk about what's real. And I'm not a member of AA or any of the 12-step programs. I've learned a lot about it here at the Retreat Center. And I developed a spirituality. It's very Catholic. That's really based on the 12-step program, and really quickly, it's admitting that you have a problem, believing in God who has the power, and number three, surrendering to God. So when I would preach about that on a parish mission or go to different parishes and just simply allude to it, people would come out of the woodwork, Father, thank you finally for talking about addictions and about the 12-step program. We've never heard a priest talk about that before. Now, that's not the only thing I preach about, but it is one thing. Why? Because 90% of people out there have been affected by the disease of alcoholism and addictions, and they have somebody in the family. And that's why I spent a year writing a book about it, because that's what ministry is. It's relating to people going through real life issues. And I can't stress that enough. Unfortunately, in the past, I think a lot of the preaching has just been this pious platitude kind of thing. And we've all heard all that. Give us something real, give us something engaging, give us something relevant, give us something that we can relate to. And that's exactly what preaching and ministry is all about. Mm.
That is why I can watch you on television all the time, Father. That's why, because I so agree with the way you approach things, and I think it really speaks to people deep into their interior, and then they can apply it immediately in their lives and in their relationships, and they see the positive results, and then they want more. You know, it's very, you know, when you talk about addictions, I know everybody says you got to get rid of addictions. Absolutely, right? Because addictions, you know, keep us. You know, they keep us distracted from God, and they keep us away from, you know, what God's will for us and plan for us. But this is a good addiction to have, is that, I believe anyway, that thirst and hunger for wanting to know and to feel that more of God's love and God's understanding. I think it's amazing, Father. And when you tap into that and people do gravitate towards it, you see rapid growth. and people start doing things, it's pretty amazing. You see God's magnificence. I'm sure you've seen it in all the years that you've been a priest, Father.
Yeah, really quickly, let me just share that I talk a lot about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's one of the reasons why the Protestant networks love me. And when you talk about addictions, people say, oh, I want to be delivered. God deliver me from an addiction. But God does something better. He brings you into recovery and walks with you out of the addiction. So when you get a personal relationship with God, you get it through the suffering, through the walking, through the journey. That's how you develop the personal relationship with God. And God doesn't just deliver you, he walks with you. And that's real life and real issues. And really quickly, you were talking about my programs. I just want to share with your listeners that on Trinity Broadcasting Network, it's Sundays at 7 a.m. Eastern, Daystar Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time. Again, TBN, 7 a.m. Eastern, Daystar 1 p.m. Eastern every Sunday. And EWTN has me on occasionally, and just pay attention to their schedule, and you'll see Father Cedric Pizania and the different things that will be coming on. So I am thrilled to be on these three platforms, as well as radio. I'm on various radio stations, nothing like you with EWTN, but it's amazing. And God has given us all a beautiful platform to reach out.
Well, Father, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left here, and we always like to kind of look ahead to the future. I don't know how far down the road you've looked. You're involved in a lot of things right now. But God always seems to be stretching us and calling us to do even more or some different things and so forth. In addition to all of the media that you're doing and the writing and the audio and video resources, do you see more of that expanding in the future or any other particular projects that God has put on your heart?
I'm part of the communications committee for our province, for the Holy Cross province of the Passionists. And the pandemic has forced us to start streaming live and getting into social media and looking at broadcast media in a more intense manner. I've been doing this for years, but others haven't been. So yes, I think the trajectory that we're on right now is the correct one. And that is reaching out the walls of the church to the lost, to the forsaken, to those on the periphery, the marginalized. My media ministry has brought me into prisons, and I have a pen pal ministry and all kinds of different things. It opens up all kinds of new vistas. So I think the trajectory of the future, as you were saying, Jerry, is exactly what you're doing, the new evangelization, reaching out through broadcast media, through radio, through television, through social media. The pandemic is forcing everybody, even parish priests, to be starting to do this through social media, through live broadcasting. And that's one of the silver linings in the pandemic's wall, cloud, I mean, that we are all now reaching out in various ways. So yes, that's the trajectory that we should be heading, the new evangelization, with a special emphasis, I believe, on those who are not going to church and young people. Mm-hmm. We really need to be gravitating toward our youth, yep, toward helping them, toward being engaging with them. Again, my book, God's Not Boring, I euthanize that book. I say that with tongue in cheek. Euthanization is something totally different. But it's that whole thing that we've been talking about relating to different people. Now, when a lot of my viewers are seniors, I try to relate to them. I talk about growing older, what mm-hmm. that means. Yeah. So it's all about go back to that thing about relating to people. But to answer your question, Jerry, yes, it's all about the new evangelization called upon by Pope Francis, by Pope John Paul II. And you are doing that, I'm doing that, and I think our church needs to be doing that more and more and more.
Praise God. We're going to ask you, Father, in just a minute for a prayer and blessing for the ministry and all of the listeners. We only have about a minute, but I just wanted to say we normally do this with some of our guests that we just think, wowed our Take Two family. So, Father, would you come back again and visit us?
Oh, please. But you have to come and visit me, too.
Okay. That's a deal. Okay. We got 15 seconds. Thank you. 15 seconds for a prayer and blessing, Father.
Heavenly Father, we lift up to you all the listeners of the Take Two Show. We ask your wonderful blessing upon them in their sufferings and in their joys. May they have a personal relationship with you, and may you fill them with the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Our prayers go with you, Father. Thanks for your time. It's FatherFR, FatherCedric.org on the internet. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. God bless. We'll talk to you tomorrow.